It's harvest time, and a semi full of corn has just pulled onto the scales at Seven Springs Farm in Katy's, Kentucky.
And they come in, he's going to weigh them in this system.
Nick Woodruff is the production and technology manager at the farm, which employs 60. The bins this corn will soon inhabit can hold as many as 350,000 bushels, or 16.8 million pounds. This is the Grain Hub.
We track our yields for crop insurance purposes, so that's all based out of here. All that data is coming from this system.
Seven Springs farms livestock, tobacco, and row crops. But to really be in the game, these days, you have to be a data farmer too.
The way things communicate now and interact has changed a lot in the last couple years.
So has the size of the farm. What started at just 2,000 acres covers 36,000 today. When the farm was smaller and clouds still just meant white puffy things in the sky, farm data was stored on site. Now, everything is transmitted to the JohnDeere.com cloud server.
All the technology we use is to make us better. We use it for aerial imagery. I mean, we've got a drone so we can see our strengths and weaknesses at any time in the field. We do variable rate planning. I mean, it's all to increase production and cut costs.
Big data brings big opportunities like increased production yields, but it's also raising thorny questions like who owns it? Woodruff has a privacy agreement with John Deere that makes him owner of data he adds to the company's database. However, a company with no connection to Woodruff also has access to that information once John Deere adds the data to that collected from other farmers.
So the equipment manufacturers have their own product that those machines talk to, then we talk to that server. And we pull that record from that server.
We have integration agreements with them to pull the data off of their servers that's come from their equipment.
That's Rick Murdoch and Pete Clark, co-founders of Ag Connections. The company has integration agreements with John Deere and other manufacturers. The company is housed in an old refurbished tobacco barn in Murray and was recently purchased by Syngenta, one of the largest ag companies in the country. Their software is offered as a service with Syngenta's products. Murdoch and Clark knew the value of data back in the 90s when they saw farmers doing detailed spatial analytics. Murdoch says farmers knew how to get data, but didn't know much about how to manage it.
What we wanted to do, we wanted to give them a software product that if they kept their records, they could more professionally report and relate to their business partner.
The software is also beneficial in helping their clients comply with regulations. Ag Connections, for example, has a weather app that will allow a grower to make fertilizer purchase orders with the forecast in mind. That can help reduce pollution from runoff.
In northwest Ohio, we have a lot of growers up there where they aren't allowed to apply nitrogen on a field if there's a forecast in the next 36 hours of a 1-inch rain or growth.
Murdoch says his company can help farmers deal with an expected increase in regulations. His company also has a privacy agreement with each client. As the security concerns continue to mount, the Farm Bureau suggests a list of data principles be adopted by each agriculture technology provider. Ag Connections signed on to this as well. According to an American Farm Bureau Federation survey conducted May of this year, 77% of farmers are extremely concerned about which entities can access their farm data.
There is a lot of fear currently, and a lot of that fear is real.
That's Terry Griffin, a cropping systems economist at Kansas State University. He and some colleagues are working on a white paper on big data in ag.
If a tract of farmland has data, spatial and metadata that comes with it, then that farm is likely to go for a premium. To flip it around, a farm that does not have sufficient data may actually be penalized.
Griffin is most concerned about threats from hackers, but most farmers he hears from are worried about who owns data and how that might affect their value of farmland. For example, if land is rented, as many farms are, who then owns the data generated, the tenant or the landowner? Dr. Shannon Farrell, Associate Professor of Agriculture Law at Oklahoma State University, is also working on the white paper.
Absent a privacy agreement or some other sort of contract negotiated between the parties, there may not be a whole lot of protectable rights with respect to that information.
Law protecting trade secrets might apply to ag data, but Farrell says that would take some work.
I have to show that it's got economic value because no one else knows what it is, and I've been working diligently to keep that information secret.
Farrell says he doesn't know of any court cases so far, but he has heard indications that farm data disputes could land in the courts, such as expert witnesses preparing reports on the value of data. Industry experts like Farrell and Griffin say the benefits of gathering and sharing data outweigh the risks, and farmers like Nick Woodruff agree. He's still leery of having his data in the cloud, but that hasn't stopped Woodruff's farm from embracing new technology, like this John Deere self-driving tractor. It's fully loaded and activated for wireless communication before it leaves the factory. Woodruff says just like the rest of the economy, everything is consolidating, big farms are getting bigger, and farmers are finding it more difficult to keep pace with all the new technology. But
you just wonder where it's all actually going. So if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in Katy's, Kentucky.